up for talking nonsense?
Who's up for talking nonsense?
I'm the American Jezebel.
This is the Greasy Rapidian.
And here we are talking nonsense in a new location.
New location where we're on site.
We are.
And we're here with our special guest.
Yes, we have a very special guest today. I think we teased this guest last time we recorded.
We did.
We announced that we were having a special guest. And did you tell everyone who our special guest?
No.
I don't remember.
Yeah, our special... No, that's okay. You don't have to remember your name because we remember. This is a five-day banana.
Welcome, five-day banana, to the podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And we're actually in five-day banana's house, so we're like traveling. This is a traveling podcast.
Yeah, it's a on-the-road podcast. Yes.
Okay, and so we have... This is episode 20 of this podcast. And so we have our guest, the 5 Day Banana, and we have watched the movie Beginners.
Yeah, we thought we were going to watch a different movie, and we could not find it anywhere. So we had to choose a different film within the trilogy that we're doing these three movies.
Mm-hmm. And so we like to start off by thanking our future sponsor. Dazzle, 5 Day Banana. Tell us about Dazzle, our future sponsor.
Dazzle's a great jazz club in Denver, and it's one of 100 best jazz clubs in the country. It's in the world. It's not in the country. Anyway, I spend a lot of time there. It's my second home.
And so you would vouch for them?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Wow. If it's one of the 100 best in the world, I think I'm sold. Even though I'm not would not call myself a jazz listener.
Maybe you should go sometime.
Mm-hmm. Clearly I do, yeah.
Yeah. Because then when we get later, because we already have a sense of 5 Day Banana's reaction to this movie. And so maybe later we could swap. But we are sitting orthogonal. We are sitting orthogonal to the 5 Day Banana. So
I don't know 5 Day Banana if you know this about the Greasy Rapidian here, but he loves to try to get phrases started. Like he makes up phrases and then tries to get other people to say them. And so you know how there's like pugs that are like blonde, sort of like beige pugs, like the regular pugs, and then there are the black pugs. He wanted to call the black pugs tire tar pugs. Because they look like tar, right? And so he tried to get that going as a phrase that we called pugs that were black, tire tar pugs. And I have never, ever heard anyone say that.
And the other thing I tried to get going that people won't do is that when they predict there's going to be a big blizzard, and then there isn't one, I call it a fizzard because it fizzled out. It's a fizzard.
Good. That's good.
But nobody else will say it but me.
Oh, I think that's really good.
He's always trying to get these phrases started. And one of the ones he's trying to get going is to say, if you're sitting across from each other, you're sitting orthogonal. And he thinks that this is something that the kids say. And I wouldn't profess to be a kid anymore. But I will say that people in their mid-20s are not saying that as a phrase.
They are. Uh-uh. They're totally. So if you want to seem hip and young like me, just start throwing around orthogonal.
Nope, don't listen to him. Yes.
I'll stay hip and young in a different way.
Yes, by going to Dazzle. That's how you stay hip and young.
Right, that's really good.
So we have like the true hip and youngsters, and then those that are just pretending to be hip and young.
Are you talking about me?
I'm talking about myself. I always just talk about myself. Well, you know, the other thing that we have is that occasionally people disagree with our takes on music, movies. We like to let them be heard, but as the last, like, 10 episodes... Nobody has disagreed with what we've said about a movie. There is nobody that disagrees. So once again, we nailed it.
Nailed it. Perfect analysis. And I assume that this episode too, we're just going to have a perfect discussion and we understand this movie totally, right? So there were no agree to disagree, but we do have to come back to our other recurring segment.
Which is that, do you know who Jim Carrey is?
Yes.
Well, I said something a long time ago, like maybe 4 months ago, about Jim Carrey, that he was maybe not very likable. And people have got quite upset by that. And so that's mostly what people have been writing and calling us about, is my saying that Jim Carrey was not likable. Do you find Jim Carrey likable?
Yes.
Oh! Well, since I've
I haven't listened to him very much, but what I've heard, yes, I do like.
Oh.
See, another Jim Carrey fan. You really are in the minority as a Jim Carrey hater.
Well, no, as it turns out, I'm not, because you were listening to our podcast shout out, which was
NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. And they were really going after Jim Carrey as well. They said he was doing all the things that they didn't like, which was all his crazy faces and all his mugging for the camera. And they were not fans of Jim Carrey in the, what is it, Sonic the Hedgehog movie that's coming out. So poor choices in terms of movies for his career comebacks. And he's apparently at full Jim Carrey.
And I think Five Dating Banana, you're probably glad that we did not bring Sonic the Hedgehog movie for you to watch.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether I'm glad or not. I didn't understand what you were saying about everybody has liked what you've done.
Oh, you didn't understand that? Yeah, because in the beginning when we started doing the podcast, people would send us emails and people would call and they would get on the Instagram and say, we disagree with what you're saying. They disagreed with our reviews of the movie and they disagreed with a bunch of stuff. And they would send us their disagreements. And then we would come on and we would say, this is what people said. And we just have to agree to disagree.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying people agreed with it at all.
They must now, because we haven't heard from anybody in about 2.5 months. So we assume they just agree with us, because we leave no stone unturned when it comes to analyzing these movies. And today we are gonna cover this movie like we've never covered a movie, because we have you with us. So, all right. So we're gonna go right into movie number 20, which was Beginners. And so let's read the description of what this movie was supposedly about. This is what it says if you went to rent this movie. This is the description of the movie. So you're going to listen and see if this is true to what you just watched.
Yes. And we know we brought this movie to you, so you didn't even have any choice in the movie.
That's true.
But if you were going to rent this movie and you were deciding, this is the description you would read. Okay. After his mother dies, Oliver is stunned when his father, Hal, recently diagnosed with terminal cancer, comes out of the closet. When Hal passes away a few years later, Oliver grows depressed, struggling with his failing career as an artist, while constantly remembering his childhood and time spent with his dad. Oliver's loneliness is eased when he meets actress Anna, but their relationship is threatened by their mutual fear of commitment.
Does that sound like the movie you watched?
Well, part of it.
Which part sounds like the movie you watched?
Well, most of it, except the part that about him liking to spend time with his father. There wasn't any part in there about his father.
That may be true.
Well, that was my version of it. If it was there, I missed it totally.
Uh-huh.
I just saw the experiences he had with his mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we didn't have any parts where it was him as a child spending time with his father, right?
But,
and towards the end of the movie, he says, I don't even remember you. I don't have memories of you when I was young, right? He tells his father, because I think his father was always at work, so he was only spending time with his mother, right?
Oh, I'm all mixed up. Of course he spent time with his father. I mean, he was with his father when he was dying.
Yes, when he was an adult, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But not when he was a child.
That part that I thought when he was a child, that's in the review there that you read. Mm-hmm. I thought it was saying when he was a child.
Right. So you are right that when he was a child, we only see him spending time with his mother.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then when he's an adult, we only see him spending time with his father because his mother has passed away.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. We're on the same page.
Yes. Are there other parts of the description that you think were not accurate or accurate?
Well, they didn't talk about his relationship with the dog.
Where was the dog in that description? This is a minor flaw in the description, but did you get the feeling that his career was failing, that he was a failure as an artist?
I didn't until you read that in the review.
I would say yes, I did have that sense because it was his two friends that kept him employed. And then every time they would try to get him to do something, he would just continue to work on the history of sadness. and then the clients would not like it, and he would go, "I'm so sorry." And they would go, "We're sorry too." And so you could tell that they were just keeping him around because he was their friend, but he was not selling any art.
Well, when you looked at his art, and perhaps you could understand why he wasn't selling it.
Yeah, give us an example.
Critique of his art.
Give us an example of his art.
Well, it was stick figures, you know, of such simple things, which sometimes are attractive. But I didn't find that attractive in this movie, but what he was doing.
What did you think of his art?
Well, I like the concept of the history of sadness, you know, because he was sad. He was very, very sad. And so he was trying to trace the origins of sadness because it starts with the earth was created and there was no sadness. Right. So at some point, sadness is created. It's a Pandora's box, maybe, or it's a fall from the Garden of Eden. We don't get to see that part of his history. But at some point, sadness enters the world. And we don't get to see that, but you can see that he thinks that at some point there was a time before sadness.
I didn't get that at all. I'm
what
so glad.
What movie were you watching?
I'm so glad you can describe it to me.
Well, I guess that then my question would be, now that we've read the description that Google says, if you were looking it up, this that they would say the movie is about. What would you say that the movie is about?
Well,
what do you think this movie
great deal
about?
Of sadness. Mm-hmm. In one, if you're choosing one word, I guess that would be what you would choose.
And so what do you think the source of his sadness was?
Oh, let's don't get psychological here.
Well, he was Sigmund Freud for Halloween.
Ooh, that's right. We could, couldn't we? Oh, I wouldn't even venture to say.
What about you, Jezebel? What do you think?
The source of his sadness?
Yes.
That's a very good... Do you have an answer to that question?
Well, and so now we're going to go into what do you think this movie is about? And so, you know, we're always talking about coming of age or liminal spaces where people are transitioning. And several times in the movie... there's these discussions, like there's the discussion about the dog and, you know, why is a Jack Russell a Jack Russell and what was it bred to do? And then his mom talks about being Jewish. And then his girlfriend talks about being Jewish and how she was categorized by being Jewish. And then the dad talks about being gay. And so it's all these people that have kind of in them this sense of who they're supposed to be because of their genetic makeup. And then they're not, like the girlfriend is pretty and Jewish girls were not supposed to be pretty, right? And he's gay and men were not supposed to be gay, right? And so there's this, and the Jack Russell now is cute and the Jack Russell wasn't supposed to be cute. It was supposed to go after foxes. And so it's all of these people or living things, living beings that were having their genetic makeup a sense of who they're supposed to be, yet they're not. And he has that in him as well. He, like his mom says, you're going to be much more emotional than your dad. And the dad ends up being way more emotional than him. The dad has a lot more fun. The dad has a lot more sadness. He just has sadness. He's way more somber. And so I think he's struggling with the fact that he's not who he was supposed to be. And so who is he? And it causes him this great sadness because he can't figure out who he's supposed to be. Even at the very end, they're sitting there on the bed, and he said, I mean, even when he lets her leave because he says, I don't think this is the way I was supposed to feel. And so he's thinking he's supposed to feel a certain way. And then at the end, he said, well, what do we do now? And so he doesn't know. And so he is kind of trapped in this liminal space of he thinks he's supposed to be something, and he's not, so he's struggling to become what he really is, but he can't. And, you know, he saw his father do it at 75 when he finally comes out of the closet, and he sees how happy he is. I think at one point he said, I finally saw my father in love when he's laying on the bed with Andy. And he said, I finally saw my father in love. And so he sees his father do it, and I think there's a sadness because he sees that his father did it, but he can't, and he doesn't know how to do it.
Well, I'm so glad you told me what that movie was about.
Well, we also can't just let him tell us what he thinks the movie is about. Because you might disagree. Do you think that that's what the movie was about?
Well, I'm not disagreeing, or I'll agree because I didn't know what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I would never recommend this movie to anyone. Ever.
We do that at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm being...
You'll rate it at the end of the podcast, but now our readers get a sense of where 5 Day Banana is at on this movie. What about you, Jezebel?
Well,
go ahead.
Maybe if I was a fan of art movies, I would grasp this better than I did. But I'm not generally, so I really felt lost in watching this movie.
So would you say like this movie was the equivalent of, this is to popular movies, what jazz is to popular music?
Oh, I don't know whether I could do that or not.
Because when you go to listen to jazz, do you think you have to work harder than when you turn on the radio?
Oh, there's all kinds of jazz to listen to. So, yes, there's only a certain kind that I appreciate. So I would say yes to your question.
Uh-huh. So this isn't like swirling atonal jazz?
No.
You don't like that?
I want to hear a melody once in a while.
Uh-huh. And this movie didn't have a melody for you?
No.
Oh, I love it. We're going to have a real disagreement here. It's, yeah. Love. We don't have that very often. But it's good to have a big disagreement between our people on the podcast. Yeah.
I'm glad that I can challenge you both.
Yes.
How about you, Jezebel? What do you think the source of their sad? Because he was sad, as was Anna. Because I would say Anna was a little sad as well, his girlfriend. Don't you think?
I didn't realize Jewish girls weren't supposed to be attractive. I heard you just say that.
That's what she said in the movie.
Oh, that's what she said.
And then
you repeated it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't get that.
Yes, and so that's not me saying that.
But I certainly learned something in her having said that.
Yeah, because then she said, you know, because he said to her, Jewish girls are pretty. He said, you're pretty. And she said, Jewish girls aren't supposed to be pretty. And he said, who told you that? And she said, my mother. And he said, no, she didn't. And she said, you're right. It was the other girls at school that told me.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's not me. So all those people out there that are reading and listening along here, I think Jewish girls are quite pretty.
I agree with you.
I have some friends that are listening to this that are Jewish. You are... Oh! Is somebody,
do we have a caller?
Is this someone calling into the podcast? Talking nonsense.
Hello.
We're not answering. Like her in the movie, we're not answering.
You said we could stop it.
It was not a caller for us as a podcast. It was for just for the 5-Day Banana.
5-Day Banana's got more phone calls than we have.
No, but I do think that if you were saying that the movie is about his sad, the source of his sadness is that he's not what he should be. And I do think that a lot of it comes from that, and from that discussion of like sort of him also grappling with like sort of both of them thinking about kind of the inheritance that they have from their parents. So her, I think a lot of her source of sadness comes, it seems like, from her father and the problems that her father has that he's then putting on to his daughter. And even in the movie, he says, you know, you should talk to mom about that, not me, when he's playing her, role playing as her. And so her father is putting all of his intense problems onto her. And then he, without even, it seems like, maybe his parents meaning to, he's taking on his parents' relationship. And so even when he's a kid, he says to his mom, you know, is something wrong with you and dad? And she's not going to talk to him about it, and says, like, nothing's wrong, even though he can feel that something is wrong. And so I think he's also grappling with, you know, he had a vision of his parents and their relationship, and then that colors how he sees relationships. And then it was all kind of upended by his mother dying and his father coming out as gay. And so he's also has this, maybe some of that source of sadness comes from him trying to figure out like what their relationship was, and then how he takes what he grew up with, and how does he have a relationship that lasts and that stays.
I'm glad to know that.
Well, so the other part about it, and so this is the question I would have for you, because at one point his dad is laying on the couch, and that's after the dad's boyfriend leaves to go see his other boyfriend. And so the son is upset, and he says to him, why did you choose him? He's not like you at all. And he said, well, I chose him because he's not like me. And he said, you know, everybody thinks that you should get a lion, and you want a lion, but then no lion shows up and a giraffe shows up. And you say, well, I'd rather have a giraffe than be lonely, right? And so the question I have for you is, right, that how is that exactly in life? I mean, at what point in life do you say that's good enough? And at what point in life do you say, No, I'm holding out for the lion, which seems to be the struggle between him and his dad. Because his dad's saying, just put a personal ad in the paper and get yourself a wife. And he's like, it doesn't work like that, Dad. And he said, well, that's how it worked for me. And that's how he ended up with a giraffe, which was his boyfriend that he loved so dearly.
It's obvious that you watched this movie twice. Because you're talking about things that I didn't even see or understand or hear.
Okay, but in life, you know, at what point do you say, I thought I was going to have this, but I don't. And so I'm going to I'm going to choose this other thing. And I'm going to love that and welcome that as much as the idea of my first thing.
Well, my own personal experience was that I came to a point where I either had to go for the lion or die. And I chose the lion.
Because the giraffe was killing you.
The giraffe was what?
So when you settled, when you said, you know, this, what I really wanted was this, but I settled instead.
For the giraffe.
Yes. And so that was not working. And so you're saying you should go for what you really want.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Uh-huh. So you're in the son's camp. You're on the son's side.
Well, I don't know what side I'm on. I still don't understand the movie.
She's on the lion side. She's saying go for the lion.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, well, yes, that's what I was saying. Didn't you understand that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was clarifying, though.
Okay, I need to be clarified, that's for sure.
Well, that's why we have the Jezebel here.
Okay. She's a great help.
She is a great help. So one of the other things we always talk about is, who was this movie made for? So
God, I don't know.
Do you think this was made for young people?
Well, somebody smarter than me. I wasn't grasping what it was about.
Huh.
And as you talk about what it was about, it was not, I didn't understand that at all.
Uh-huh. Ah, fascinating.
And I don't feel, I really don't feel, since I didn't understand this movie, I don't feel that I learned from it.
Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. For me, it wasn't so much that I learned from it, I didn't learn anything, but I had a great sense of I could empathize with them.
That's very good, very good to be.
And did you have any feeling in the movie? Did you feel anything for the movie?
Not really.
Not really.
Because I wasn't understanding.
Yeah, oh, fascinating.
No, now I'm wishing that we could watch multiple movies. Because we've had kind of this, this movie was made in 2010, right? And I think, I want to hear what the Greasy Rapinian thinks, who this movie you think it's for. Because it seemed to speak to you.
Yes.
And it did not speak to the 5-Day Banana. So I'm interested to hear what you think, who you think this movie is for. Because it is a question that we ask a lot. And we just finished doing a series of movies that were old movies. So we watched Rebel Without a Cause, and we watched Splendor in the Grass, and we watched The Last Picture Show. And we were talking then about who is the movie for. And we were saying, do you think that there are movies or books even, To Kill a Mockingbird, that you have to read it when you're at a certain age, and at that time in your life that really appeals to you, and that if you saw it at another point in your life, it wouldn't really hold anything for you. And so I'm curious then, maybe if this movie, even if we didn't think that was the case, is actually that way too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because we watched Rebel Without a Cause. And do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was hard to watch.
Yes,
and
so was.
And so I was like, this is not, I did not like that movie. And then we were talking about it, and we said, it seems like it was kind of like an American existentialism. And so, when I was younger, I loved the existentialists. I loved to read Camus and Sartre and Kafka, right?
Right.
And I would not read them now. I don't find them interesting anymore.
You've gone beyond that.
Yes. And so we were saying The Rebel Without a Cause might have been a really great movie to see when you were 16 to 26. But when you're not that anymore, you go, yeah, it's not that interesting to me. As are the existentialists, right? When I was 16 to 26, I just could not read enough of them. And now you just could not make me read. I would just be like, please don't make me read Camus. Please. The plague. Oh, please don't.
I think that's a very good point, though, that perhaps certain movies are for certain ages. Attraction.
Yeah. Yeah, and so maybe that's why you didn't enjoy this movie as well. Because it'll be interesting to hear if the Jezebel liked it as much as I did. And maybe it was
You liked this movie.
I loved this movie.
Oh, God.
Loved this movie.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. Because we also watched a movie. The last movie that we watched was partially about an older couple. And then it was partially about their children who were kind of trying to do their best by their parents. And the Greasy Rapidian also loved that movie. And I liked it, but I didn't love it because it was almost like I'm not to that point myself yet. And so I don't understand being in that position. And he does. Whereas we watched another movie that he hated and I liked a lot more. And I think it was because it was more appealing to me as a younger person in a different generation too.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that I loved this movie, but I liked, there were a lot of elements that I liked about this movie. And some of the, I kind of like some of those, as you were asking earlier, what kind of genre would we call this movie? And I said it was probably kind of an independent drama. And there was kind of some, some very self-conscious artistic touches to it, right? When he says, like, this is what the sun looks like, this is the stars, this is who the president is, and he shows all those pictures, and then, like, the screen would turn different colors. All of that was kind of him just adding in artistic flourishes. And I liked a lot of those. I really liked when he said, this is what the sun looked like in 2003, this is what the sun looked like in 1955 or 1938, right? I liked that. It goes back to his whole idea of historical consciousness, right? Of us thinking back to all of these times, which we haven't talked about at all. But I kind of liked that of his image of, you know, how are we taking in history ourselves, right? And he drew that little picture of the man being crushed, the present being crushed by the past. And that's why I think, again, that's where some of his sadness comes from, is the sadness of the past that people take on themselves, even if they didn't experience it. So I liked this movie quite a bit. I loved the dog.
The dog was wonderful.
But I wouldn't say I loved this movie. I didn't love the girl that much because she was kind of a rom-com, but independent drama romantic lead to me, where she's super beautiful but a little bit of a cipher, and she's kind of unknowable and mysterious, and we never see her in any context except for with him. And you know, it's kind of cutesy at the beginning that she can't talk, and it was kind of a fun way to introduce her that she can't talk. Yes. But at the same time, it's a little bit kind of, it's treading the ground that a lot of independent dramas have with that kind of character. So, but I loved Christopher Plummer in this. I thought he was great. The dad, I loved the dad's performance and the dad as a character mm-hmm. as well.
That was true. The father was really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so one of the reasons we do this 5-Day Banana, because almost inevitably, when we talk, she'll say something and I'll go, oh, that's exactly what this movie was about and why I loved it. And so when she was just saying that, I mean, it is that thing that I'm at this place in my life where, you know, I'm having to care for my parents who are ailing. And so I'm having to make decisions. And so before we came to be with you, we went to see my father.
Of course.
You know, and so when I leave my father, I always hug him tightly and I get my face as close to his face as possible. And I look him in the eyes and I just tell him I love him. I love him because he's my father. And that, again, goes to the other thing that she talked about, was this kind of weight of the past. Right. And I recently heard this word atavistic that I thought I knew what I meant, but I did not. And atavistic means to be somewhat possessed by the ancestors, to be have your ancestors kind of consume you. And so you have a connection to the ancestors that's almost unhealthy, right? And I kind of feel that in my life, that I had this atavistic relationship to my ancestors. And so when he's, you know, having all this stuff that's happening to him, like he can say, this is where my mother was born, this is where my father was born, this is who the man, and he's like laying out his parents' lives, but he also feels the burdens of their lives. I feel that for my parents, my grandparents, I feel this for generations of my family. And so when I watch this movie, I get the burden that he carries. And like, it moves me deeply. Like, I was going to cry in this movie. I was like, oh, 5-Day Banana will see me crying. And she was like, what are you crying about? I hate this movie.
No, I wouldn't have. I would have admired that it meant that much to you.
Yeah.
You know, that you were really relating to it.
I was.
And appreciating it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. Maybe if I watched it 5 times, you know, because I missed many parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is something that we talk about too, where we talk about like movies that we ask, you know, we ask, who is this movie for? And then we talk about that in more of an idea of like, you know, which movies do you really like see yourself in some way? And so I think the last couple movies, you're seeing yourself in that movie, right? Or you might say, like, we've done other movies where it was like, this is the movie that was made for me, you know, where you say, oh my goodness, like this, I remember feeling that exact way in whatever that movie is. Do you have any movies that you've seen that you were like, this, I remember feeling that exact way, or I see myself in that?
I knew you were going to ask that. And no, I can't come up. While we talk, maybe I can think of but right on the spur of the moment, I can't come up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was one recently that was that way for me. But when we talked to all the boys I've loved before, that was a movie made for me. So.
Yeah. But the other thing, you know, this podcast is called Talking Nonsense. And so we've gotten really serious here.
Oh, yes, yes, we have. We're supposed to be nonsensical.
Yeah, and so we're going to have the Jezebel bring in some nonsense. Because one of the other things, Five Banana, that I like to do is that I don't like professional sports because I think that money has ruined sports. And so I like to watch sports that doesn't have any money involved in it. And so I always try to find sports that are non-monetized. And so we've watched a few things. Botaoshi, which is this Japanese sport of pulling down a giant pole, which is super fun. Kabuki, which is this East Indian game of tag, which I love. Cornhole, we've done some cornhole. We've done a few. But the American Jezebel has one. And so she's got this new sport, and she's gonna, I think, show you a little video of this sport so you can see it. Do you want to show this?
I do. So yes. So I have never brought a non-monetized sport to the table before, but I just recently discovered this one. It's called rabbit hopping. It is a professional sport, and I'm gonna show you a video of people doing rabbit hopping.
These are Danish people.
This is a real sport.
Oh my goodness, isn't that just crazy? Oh!
Oh no! Oh.
Didn't make it.
No, he's gonna lose points. So we could watch hours.
So what do you think? Are you a fan of some Danish bunny rabbit hopping?
I don't think so.
This was a sport that really came about in the 1970s, was when it started.
Really?
And it became very popular in Sweden, actually. It's a very Scandinavian sport. It seems to be very dominated by women who are jumping their bunnies. And there's a series of different types of jumps the bunnies can do. So they can do an obstacle course. They can do like a jagged obstacle course. They can do a long jump. And then they also do a high jump competition. I don't know what the stats are on the highest and furthest that the bunnies have jumped. And it all seems to take place in a high school auditorium. But I highly recommend, and I will post on our page. On our Twitter and everything, some videos of Danish bunny hopping.
Because I'm feeling...
if you're feeling down, just watch those little bunnies hop up and down.
I'm feeling sorry for Scandinavian women.
What is happening in Scandinavia that all the women are turning to bunny hopping to pass the time?
Oh, I think the internet's going to blow up now. If you think that saying something bad about Jim Carrey got people upset.
Oh, no.
The Scandinavian women. Oh, yeah, they're coming after
us. No, the Scandinavian women wouldn't do that. They're too calm about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've come up with a movie.
Okay, huh. I like that.
The Post. And I watched that movie, and it was so powerful for me. I had read Woodward's book, but my husband was a newspaper man. And this was so powerful, I went out to my car after I had seen it, and I had to sit for about an hour before I could drive my car. And then I went to see it again, and... I was in a little better shape after I saw it. But I still am a little wondering why I was affected by it that much. It didn't seem like it should have been that strong, actually, for me.
But I think, you know, also from what I know about you, I mean, if we look at that period of history, you know, so if we're just going to kind of generalize, like maybe like 65 to 75.
Yeah.
What was happening in there. And at this point, like recently I was listening to this podcast, You Must Remember This, that's a podcast shout out, and she was talking about how Warren Beatty was going to make a movie after the Charles Manson murders, you know, after Charles Manson murdered all those people. And he was going to make a movie about the hairdresser that was killed, Jay Sebring. And he's going to make this movie Shampoo, right? And he ended up making the movie Shampoo, yes. But the ending changed. And the ending changed after Watergate. Because he had, when he was making the movie, thought that the Manson murders and Altamont, the concert, free concert by the Rolling Stones that ended up in people being killed, that was the death of the 60s, because this kind of free love and kind of different way of being had been killed by this violence that came in. And so Warren Beatty was going to make a movie that had this apocalyptic ending, right? And then in the end, he didn't make that ending because Watergate had come around. And he said, Warren Beatty said, I thought that those murders and then that concert was the death of the 60s. But then I realized we were so busy looking at ourselves that we forgot to look at the organizational structure that had come back in with the reelection of Nixon. He said, when Nixon was reelected in this overwhelming landslide in 72, yeah. I realized we were paying attention to the wrong thing. And then Nixon came in. And then when he was impeached, I think it was this really powerful moment for people where they said, okay, at least there's some check on the power structure that's coming into oppress again. And so maybe that was why it moved you so much, because, you know, what I know about you is that the civil rights movement was deeply moving to you. But then what happened then with the Nixon administration and all that was kind of a pushback against all of that. And we're seeing that even today, right? We're having now a pushback again. Right. And so maybe that's why the movie was so powerful, because you can kind of remember, you know, how crucial those times were for something so important to you.
That's a good way to describe it, and I'm relating to what you're saying. So, but I don't think there was a death of the 60s. I think we have a lot of carryovers today of the 60s. More freedom. Things got looser.
Yes, absolutely.
And my children were growing up in that period of time, so it was very real for me.
Yeah, and so I think maybe that's why, because, you know, I was very young, and I can kind of remember seeing it on TV and stuff, but I was young, and I go, I've seen it before, it's, you know, hearings and stuff like that, and so I wasn't paying much attention. And so I was maybe too young for that movie, you know, and then you recommended that I watch it, and I did watch it because I did not know how much she had at stake.
Oh, the publisher.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. And that she made that decision to publish the papers.
Yes.
Ooh, that was big.
Which could have cost her everything.
Yes, everything.
Yeah, and I did not know that part of the story,
uh-huh.
You know, which was really good to see.
It was such a picture, a story to me that told a lot about courage. The reporters,
yes,
even,
yes,
and that newsroom was so real with all those people and those typewriters and all that noise and all that smoke
and the printing press.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I recommended to you that you watch The Most Dangerous Man in America, Daniel Ellsberg.
Yes, and I never did.
I know. We should have watched that today.
We should have, yes.
But, you know, please, before you leave, I want to write that down so yes. that I do watch it.
Yes, because again, the same thing in terms of courage.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
And also that, you know, it is this thing, you know, that when we start to, with all the information that we have now, we get to see history in a different light. And so it's easy to say, well, Daniel Ellsberg, wow, he had so much courage. But then it was really his wife, you know, his girlfriend before she became his wife. But his girlfriend was like, look, if you keep working for the Rand Corporation, I'm not going to be with you. And then she left him. And then he was like, huh. The Rand Corporation or her? And then he had a, you know, and then when he went to choose her, she was like, okay, if you're choosing me, this is how you're going to be. And so a lot of his strength and courage came from her, you know, and it's that thing that at the time we did not know that. But now that, you know, you can research stuff better and people are telling the full story of what happened in that movie, you also get to see her role and what he was able to do, which I think is really important.
That would enlighten a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very important thing.
Which brings us to our segment, The Star by Far. Mm-hmm. Because
Daniel Ellsberg was the star of the Pentagon Papers.
Correct. If Daniel Ellsberg's wife was the star of the Pentagon Papers. And what's her name? Catherine?
Graham.
Catherine Graham was the star. She was all the president's man, woman. You know, mm-hmm. So she was the one, right? And if these were the ones. So in this movie tonight, today that we've watched, who was the real star of this movie, 5 Day Banana?
Well, we have to say the dog.
Well, we don't have to, but it's pretty clear that the dog was the star, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. The store, the dog was, well, it's amazing how trained that dog was. You know, that I know that could be and can happen, but just to watch it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. He had such an expressive face too.
Yes, that's
they
true.
Were putting, yeah, they were putting words underneath him, but he also just like the way that he would look at them was just yeah, he was saying so much. He was a very good dog actor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have to say probably perhaps the greatest dog role in history.
And and do you want to know what his name was?
Yes. Yeah. What was his real name?
We want to give a shout out to the actor. You can call us dog.
Yes. And call Joel us, Courtney's yes. calling us. We're calling to have the
call
dog
in,
call us.
Call in and tell us about your experience on there. You can just do subtitles. We'll do subtitles on the podcast. But his real name is Cosmo.
Get out of town, Cosmo.
Cosmo.
Because there's a cat out there that we love that's named Cosmo.
Is that right?
Yes.
So all pets named Cosmo are good.
Destined for greatness.
The best dogs, 13 out of 10.
Well, I'm going to give a different star by far. Because the dog was great. And since you guys have maybe chose together the dog, I'll just throw a different one. Andy, the boyfriend. I thought he was fantastic as well, because he comes in and he brings so much joy to the man that he loves, and he loves other people, but he's also not kind of this fly-by-night kind of character. You can see when he hurts, like he comes home with the exercise ball and he's like, now that you're out of the hospital, we got to get you exercising. And then the dad, Hal, says, not right now. And he's kind of gruff, and you can see how hurt he is. And then when the son goes to tell him that the dad's dying, and he's like, you don't like me because I'm gay. And he's like, no. And then he could see how much he's hurt that the son doesn't accept him. And then even after the dad has passed away and the son brings the dog over to spend the time with him, he said, you never called me. You never came to visit after Hal passed away. It's because I'm gay. He's like, no, but you can see how much he hurt. And so I really liked him because he was kind of calling people on the consequences of their actions. And so he was very human. He brought a lot of joy, but he also had the side of him that showed, you know, that he had sides that hurt. And he expressed that to people, which was good for them to see because they didn't get that kind of role modeling anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought that was really good because I thought he role modeled for the son. Mm-hmm. You know,
that is true. He did.
Yeah, that you can tell her that you're hurt and you don't know what to do. And so I liked him as well. He was a good star as well.
Rather than keeping all of that within himself, that he could speak and say that.
Yes.
And set off fireworks. If he couldn't even say it, he could go so far as to just say, instead of telling you how I feel, I'm going to set off a bunch of fireworks and scream about it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that is good.
I did. That was one of my favorite details, was that he was going to pyrotechnic school.
Well, also, I like that he would sometimes bring a real caterpillar and sometimes bring a false caterpillar, a pretend caterpillar.
He's a weird guy.
He was a character. He was a star. You know, there's so many potatoes in the stew and not enough spice. He was the spice. There's enough potato. We need more spice.
I'm so glad you told me those two things. I didn't get either one of those. I didn't know he was going to pyrotechnic school.
You just thought he was illegally setting off all those fireworks.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I would believe that that was true, too.
That
I
may have
thought they were having a party with fireworks.
Uh-huh. All right, should we rate this movie?
I think so.
Five Day Banana, would you like to rate this movie? Now, let me tell you how we rate the movie here at Talkin' Nonsense. You can rate it from 0 to 100,000. And so we've rated one movie a 0. It is really bad. It's offensively bad. And so we both have... I rated it 0.1, but the Jezebel rated it 0. And she's actually rated another movie like 0.5. So anywhere from 0 to 100,000.
Do you want to go first and set an example of a rating?
Well, because I loved this movie. I loved this movie. And seeing it again, it's really good. Like all the little touches, like when he said they found a quarter-sized mass on my dad's lung. And then there's a picture of a quarter. And then as he's describing the dad's disease, the quarter goes into dimes and a nickel. And he keeps describing it, and then goes into 5 nickels. And then when the doctor says, and it has spread through your lymph system. So at this point, the cancer is everywhere. And then there's 25 pennies. And so the cancer isn't just a quarter size on his lung. It's now these pennies that are all over him. And it was just these beautiful touches like that that I just said, wow, this is fantastic how they made this movie. And then, of course, the subject matter just speaks to me so deeply. It's just, and then the dog is fantastic. The dad is fantastic. The mom is fantastic when she's mimicking in the art and putting her head on the shoulder of the woman that's pretentious about the art. There's so many characters that were so vivid in such a short time. It's just so well drawn, this movie. So I'm going to give this movie 86,572 KBs. 86,000 Five Day Banana. That's how much I love this movie.
Okay, I can go next so that you can think about what you would rate it, because I'm not going to give it that many. I'll say right off the bat, I won't give it that many. But I did like this movie. I liked it quite a bit, actually, for many of the same reasons. And the dog adds like 10,000 to this, no matter what. But yeah, I would say that I really liked this movie, and I liked a lot of those kind of like, now the more that I think about it, some of that sort of historical consciousness idea of the past and the present. I didn't feel as deeply connected to it as you did, but I loved the father and the mother and many of the characters. I thought it was like a pretty beautiful movie. And it's a movie, I think, made by and in some ways for a very specific type of people, even in like the spaces that they inhabit. You know, they're sort of white Los Angeles homes with their Navajo blankets and like touches of color. It's a very specific kind of aesthetic, yes. Which I kind of like that aesthetic. So I think I would give this movie 61,000. 430 KBs. So I like this quite a bit, but I remember I'm rating it a little bit lower, a little bit higher than our previous one, but lower than some of the other movies that we've talked about. So I don't know that I would come back and watch this movie again really quickly, although we have 48 hours to watch it a couple more times if you wanted to. We'll leave it with you, Five Day Banana. I know you can watch it 5 more times in the next couple of hours.
Then perhaps I would know what it's about.
Yeah. But I don't think I'd come back to this really soon. But I did really like it, and there were a lot of pieces of that I really liked. So
I didn't get any of that about the coins. I didn't get that. I saw it, but I didn't know what it meant. Oh, there was all that kind of stuff that you're telling me about, and then makes me appreciate the movie more. But when I watched it, I didn't get that. And so I don't know whether other people How and it would be according to age, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh dear, I will come up from zero. I'll say 150.
Wow, 150.
Well, I was gonna.
The dog was 149 of that.
The dog, the movie and the dog. That was really that. Oh my, that was good.
Yeah, you just wanted a whole movie of just the dog.
Well, you just related to what the dog was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was. That
the dog
part,
was very relatable.
Maybe I should have gone a little higher just because of the dog.
Mm. You want to add a few more for the
maybe
dog?
Maybe 200. That's as high as I can go.
We were just at an auction the other night together, though.
True.
I have 200. I have 200. Could I get 250? Could I get 250? 250? 250? Could I get 250?
Yes.
250. I have 250.
Don't let him argue any higher.
No, I'm nope. gonna get her up to 86,000.
Nope,
just give
nope,
me some room.
Nope. I'm protecting you from him pushing you to rate it higher.
That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's playing with me.
He is.
He's playing.
He is. I'm stepping in. I'll be the dog.
Will you just give me 100,000 right now? Just 100,000 right now.
Forget it.
All right, well, this episode was sponsored also by Tony's Chocolonely. Tony's Chocolonely is a delicious, nutritious, delectable chocolate with all slave-free labor. I don't know if you know it, but there's still slaves that are harvesting chocolate. And so we are eating Tony's Chocolonely because he will not buy any chocolate from a place that is used any slave labor at any point. So we support Tony 100% as we also support and are sponsored by Sustainabutter. And so Sustainabutter is deliciously digestible and nutritiously nutty. So thanks to him, and thanks to Kevin McLeod, who provides the music for these podcasts.
And before we close things out, the last thing that I want to say before we wrap up, we don't want to stay too long, overstay our welcome here, is that we are still soliciting suggestions. We're doing our reader suggestions film, and we've had a couple more suggestions come in through the wire, so you still have a couple of weeks to get your suggestion in, but we will be making a decision about that soon. So if you think you have a liminal space movie that we need to see, write in to our email address, AmericanJezebel.GreasyRapidian@gmail.com. You can tweet at us, AmericanJezebel, or you can find us on Instagram at American_Jezebel. So, liminal space movies, send them in. Maybe expand our horizons. Yes.
I'd like to add that I appreciate that you thought I would fit in and watch this movie, although you did say it was a different movie than you had chosen.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
So maybe I wish you had brought the other movie.
I'm pretty sure you wished we had brought the other movie. You gave this movie 150, 149 for the dog. I'm pretty sure you wished we would have brought the other one.
Well, but I just appreciate that you thought I would have something to contribute after we watched the movie.
And we were super happy to have you be a part of this.
Thank you. But as we talked about the movie, I became very enlightened about many things. The movie is now different than when I came from my seat up here.
That's what happens to me every week as well, that she'll say something to me and I say, wow, I did not see that. And so this happened 3 weeks in a row now, three episodes in a row. Yep. So we're in good company.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
As long as we're in good company, that's good.
Yes. And no, this is what I personally love to do, which is to watch something or read something, and then I think it's so much more valuable if you talk about it and process it with other people. Uh-huh. because we're all bringing these different perspectives to it. And so I understand it differently and think about it differently than I would if I had just watched it myself and thought about it just in my own head. Right. Yeah. So that's why, yes, we're so happy to have had you on.
Thank you. It's like reading a book. And when you read it the second time, you gain so much more from it. Things that you missed the first time around.
Right. Yeah. And I think also why book groups are still so popular, that when you sit around and talk with people about the book.
Good point.
You get so much as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing that, you know, so the Jezebel, when she was talking about earlier, she said, you know, this is for a certain kind of audience, for a certain class of people. You know, they're all kind of these white Los Angelenes that live in a certain kind of a house. And it's the same thing, like if you listen to podcasts, and this is why we're so happy to have you, that, you know, when you listen to podcasts, it's generally a group of friends that do a podcast together. So they're generally the same kind of people who have the same kind of worldview, who are at the same place in their lives. And so you get no variety within the discussion. You just get a bunch of people agreeing with each other or disagreeing in kind of their little realm. Uh-huh. And so that's why we're so excited to have you here, because it kind of, it does, it expands the different views that people can see this movie from. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we were so excited to have you.
Well, I hope you heard more than just my negativity.
I think so.
Absolutely. And so we always wrap up by saying, thanks for talking nonsense.
Thanks for talking nonsense.
Thanks for talking nonsense.